You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are back in business for hour two of the program on a Monday. Final week of regular season action. Two games for the Flames left in Vancouver Tuesday. Back home for the regular season finale on Thursday. All your coverage right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Blake Coleman back at practice today. Will not play Tuesday against Vancouver. Flames use their final call-up of the season with Adam Klapka. We'll see if he gets into the final two games for the Flames before heading back to the Wranglers for their postseason. Logan Gordon, Shan Vergy, Cam Hughes, my outstanding producers on this Monday. Hour one's in the books if you missed any of it. Latest on the Flames following their win against the Coyotes. Heard from head coach Ryan Huska, Adam Klapka, and Jacob Markstrom following practice. Also checked in on the Winnipeg Jets with Jamie Thomas. They're set for a round one matchup with the Colorado Avalanche once things get going. That should be a lot of fun. Check us out on the podcast if you missed anything. Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. More NHL talk right now to kick off hour two with our next guest. He's a fan favorite. Football, hockey, anything you want to talk about with the man, the myth, the legend. Matt Marchese joins us to kick off hour two of the program. Fan check down, the Jeff Merrick Show. What don't you do, Mr. Marchese?
I can tell you what I don't have is two producers, Logo. So I think you're higher on the pecking order than I am.
That just means I need more help to get through the day than you do. That's all that means. How you doing, pal?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know what? Despite not being the funnest times here in Calgary, it's hard not to like the warm weather, and we're getting set for some playoff matchups. It's an exciting time in the NHL right now.
It is. And I mean, this week leading up to what will be, you know, what should be another great playoff. But prior to that, just getting there with, you know, the nonsense that's gone on in the Eastern Conference, a couple of division titles still up for grabs, the President's Trophy still up for grabs. I know people are scared of it. But there's still lots of intriguing hockey, which is nice because we do get to this point of the year where it is kind of like the, okay, let's just finish off the year and whatever. But there's still, you know, there's still seemingly an Art Ross Trophy race here. Austin Matthews looking for 70 goals. The wild card in the East and the divisions. Like, there's still a lot of fun to be had before the playoffs, which is nice because we can't always say that this time of year.
No, we can't. And it should make for a fun end of the regular season, as you mentioned. And one of the things that's, you know, not on ice related that's kept us busy the last little while too is all this noise out of Arizona, and we saw them Sunday here in Calgary. It's been same old for that group. They're not talking about it. They're focused in on hockey, but Maddie, it's one of the biggest stories in sports right now, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. I know you and Jeff have talked about it. You've heard Friedman, you know, talking about it with Jeff as well on their podcast. I guess just give me your perspective on how this whole thing's gone down. I know it's not officially official, but it sure feels like the future of the Coyotes right now is in Utah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I meant to go write something like this on Twitter, but I'm not verified, so I don't have the patience to be, you know, going through 17 threads. But I can go back to when I first started in this business, and I know this is going to sound like old man radio, but I'm only 35, I promise. But when I started in this business, when I was producing for Bob McCowan on Primetime Sports, you know, 12 years ago, we were talking about this then. And I remember we joked about having a certain guest on. His name was Mike Sunnick, and he wrote for the Phoenix Star, or one of the papers down there, Phoenix Business Journal, something like that. And he was on top of the story, and we would have him on like seemingly once every 2 or 3 months because something was happening. And even then I was like, okay, this is going to end, right? Like, they're going to get an arena or they're going to be gone. And fast forward 12 years later, it finally happened. What that tells me is that the NHL is going back to Arizona. If they didn't want to be in that market because they thought there wasn't a future, then they would have absolutely not been there as long as they did. The NHL and the ownership group, you know, that makes up the NHL would not have wanted a team there that was dragging them down. Gary Bettman clearly believed in the market. And as much as people want to poo-poo on Arizona as a hockey market and take shots at their fans, this was never about the fans. It was always about ownership. At every turn, there was an issue with ownership. And that's where the biggest issues have arisen. It's not because of a lack of fan support, I don't believe. I think if the arena wasn't in a good spot to begin with, then they move them out of that arena, then it's a disaster. Then they move them into a college arena. I don't put this on the fans. I think that there is a hockey market there, especially at the youth level in Arizona. I mean, the guy who's potentially going to score 70 goals this season is a product of that system. And there's another guy who plays on the same team that is also a product of that system, and there's going to be more. So I think this is sad for the fan base, but I also believe that there will be NHL hockey in Arizona. Whether it's Alex Morello as the owner or not, I do believe that the NHL wants to go there. That will just be, I think the path is kind of Atlanta probably gets a team first before they go back to Arizona. But the next one for me would be Arizona. And then you have to start opening up the opportunity for potentially 34 teams in the NHL. I know it sounds crazy, but it feels like we're closing in on it.
It sure does. As far as what Utah is getting, are you in the same boat as I am that this is actually a pretty good situation if you're looking to become a fan in Salt Lake City? Because I think they're getting a pretty young, exciting team, Maddie, with still a lot of draft capital and the potential to make some moves over the next couple years.
Well, I think the key is going to be that they're going to spend money. Like Ryan Smith has a lot of dough. And he has invested in players in Utah in the NBA, and he's gone through a rebuild. And Elliot was on the show today talking about, like, he is not afraid to be aggressive, whether it is rebuilding or whether it is going out and getting free agents. And Arizona has always been that one untapped team over the last few years for me that has had talent, but they've had to trade guys away. They've accumulated so many picks and assets. Like, look at, like, Logan Cooley's going to be really good. Clayton Keller's already really good. Dylan Gunther has been fantastic over the past few weeks. Like, there are some players. Sean Durzi's had a wonderful year. There are players there that are good and young players that are good. But also, they've got guys that are going to be coming up in the system. Josh Doan has also played well. And they're going to be able to, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm saying this, spend money. and attract free. Maybe Utah is not the be all end all for free agents.
Sure,
but at least it has some intrigue because the owner has deep pockets. The owner seems like he's willing to spend. Players can go there and make money. You know, agents are going to be very happy about that because Arizona, unfortunately, despite the weather, was not a destination because of all the uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Now they're going into a market where there is certainty. You know that it's going to stay there. It's not like it's going to, you know, in 2 years, are we going to be here? That's not the case anymore. I think, you know, Bill Armstrong had one of the toughest jobs in hockey. Now you look at it and say, it's actually one of the more intriguing jobs. He doesn't have to use all those picks anymore because maybe they can keep their own guys that are going to become free agents now that there's some stability within the organization. So I think whatever they are, whether it be Utah or Salt Lake, whatever they want to call themselves, I think they're going to be a very intriguing destination. I think it's going to be a very intriguing market. And I think that the Coyotes, I said that they were going to be in the playoff mix this year. I was probably, you know, I was foolish, a year too early.
Yep.
But I think that there's definitely some bright future there. And now that they're going to go to a market that hopefully will support them, but also an owner that's, you know, willing to be aggressive.
Back to hockey on the ice and what's happening right now. We finished off hour one here chatting with Jamie Thomas about the Jets and the Avs in round one. And I said to Jamie, and I'll say it to you, I feel like there's two teams right there, Maddie, that I could have seen coming out of the West that, you know, one of them's going to end off their playoff run in round one. That's a hell of a way to kick things off for both teams when the playoffs get underway. How do you feel about that matchup?
Yeah, it's a really intriguing one because if I had said at the beginning of the year that Colorado was going to play Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs, you would have said, okay, Colorado won the Central and Winnipeg squeaked in as a wild card. Now we're having the conversation of Winnipeg is probably going to be hosting game one of the playoffs against the Colorado Avalanche. And if I had told you that, with all the turmoil that happened in Winnipeg over the summer, and is this thing going to blow up, and are they going to trade Shifley, and are they going to sign these guys to an extension, him and Hellebuck? And then it happened, and look at how well the teams play. Let's not forget, like, there was potentially addition by subtraction here with moving out a guy like Blake Wheeler. And I'm not saying that Blake Wheeler was a problem, but maybe the team just needed a different route. And maybe they needed different voices in that room. They bring in Sean Monahan. They bring in Tyler Toffoli as well. It's a really balanced team. They don't really have the superstar power, although I think Kyle Connor is kind of in that conversation, although, you know, he hasn't put up the same type of goal scoring numbers as he did the year previous. But they don't really have that elite talent, but they're very disciplined. They don't have the elite talent up front or on the back end. They have the goalie. They're very disciplined. And that's where, you know, when you look at a series like that, Colorado's got all the talent in the world up front. Like with Nathan MacKinnon and Rantanen and Mittelstadt had a really good year, and Nichushkin, and kind of go down the list. It's a really good team. Cale Makar providing offense from the back end. But that all goes away when your goalie can't stop a beach ball. And that's kind of what feels like is the case right now with Alexander Georgiev. I've never been a fan of Georgiev as the guy. And I know people will say, oh, he's got a bunch of wins. But look at how he's played lately. He hasn't played very well. And so I'm not super confident in their goaltending going in. Like, Justus Annunen, is he going to be the guy? No, I don't think so. No. It's not Justus for all. So for me, you know, on paper, you look at it and go, like, is Winnipeg going to be able to keep up? But I wonder if Colorado is going to be able to score enough goals to, you know, outweigh their issues that they have in net. I think this series is going to be really good. And, you know, the other thing, too, is Winnipeg got in last year. They lost to Vegas in that series, but they were so beat up by the end of it. They had, like, nobody playing. And so I think that it's a different team this year. Connor Hellebuck should be the runaway Vezina winner. And so I think that is kind of the great equalizer when you have a goalie that is playing at the peak of his powers with a team that has balanced scoring from lines 1 to 3. And you can even kind of make the case that line 4 isn't too bad either. And guys like Cole Perfetti that have had a hard time getting into the lineup, and the guy's almost got 20 goals.
Yeah.
So I think it's a nice problem to have if you're Winnipeg. And I look at that series and say, I could absolutely see that one going 7. Could you imagine if the Colorado Avalanche get bounced early again for a second straight year after winning the cup the previous year? Boy, oh boy, I wonder what that team looks like coming back next year if they get bounced in the first round again.
And it's a real possibility. I have no doubt that's going to be a hell of a series in round one, and we're going to get some more. Seemingly by the end of tonight, Matty, we could have more in the Eastern Conference laid out in front of us, but you mentioned it earlier. Things have gotten really interesting when it comes to how we're going to finish things off in the East. The Islanders have done a good job with this winning streak of late that came to an end by picking up some points and kind of separating themselves from the pack. But the rest of this pack is still here and still fighting. Pittsburgh at 86 points, Philly, Detroit, and Washington all at 87. How does this thing finish up in your mind, and who should be in that final wild card spot when it's all said and done?
It finishes up with gasoline and a blowtorch is how it finishes up. Because I was thinking about this today. Like, if you're looking at the East, when we look at playoff matchups, it doesn't even have to be matchups. It's just we want to see exciting teams in the playoffs. Is there anybody less exciting than the New York Islanders?
No.
Or the Washington Capitals at this point?
Not really.
Like my eyes bleed sometimes when I watch these guys play.
And it's not even the Islanders. I said this, man. It's not even the Islanders with Barry Trotz. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. Like, this is a Lou Lamoriello team. It's about the general manager. The guy who's calling the shots from up top. This is a Lou Lamoriello team. They're not exciting. They have some exciting players, but they don't play an exciting brand of hockey. And they're just, for me, here's the thing. They don't play an exciting brand of hockey, and they're going to be a pain to play against in the playoffs. which I'm like, okay, that's great. Makes for a potential upset, but it's not going to be very fun to watch. So I look at it and say, if I had to pick, I hope Pittsburgh gets in because I think there's some excitement with Pittsburgh because they have the offensive firepower. And could you imagine them getting to the playoffs after trading away Jake Guentzel and
no.
then potentially having to play the Hurricanes in the first round? I mean, you can't write this stuff.
I have a lot of foot removing from my mouth to go back about a month when I talked about that team being dead and gone, Matty.
Oh, you and me both. I mean, you could go back in the archives. I said, put them down. That's enough. We don't need to see this anymore. But then there's also the Detroit Red Wings. I think the Detroit Red Wings are exciting because they can't play defense worth a lick. I think that they can score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
I don't think that they can defend, and I don't think their goaltending is very good. Put them in the playoffs. Please don't put the Islanders in the playoffs. But I do think the Islanders are going to get in. Philly's a weird team too, because that's a team that a week ago, and not even a week ago, 4 or 5 days ago, we were talking about like, ah, you know, it's great that they got here, but it's over for them. And then they rattle off 2 wins in games that they shouldn't have won comparatively to losing to Columbus, getting blitzed by Montreal the following game. And then you're like, oh boy, the real Flyers showed up and it took them all season. And now they're in it. Like, they play Washington tomorrow night.
Yep.
And that game could mean playoffs or not. Washington plays Boston tonight. That's far from an easy matchup. And Washington, if I'm not mistaken, is like 2-7 in their last 9 at home. Like, it's not great for Washington right now. And their goal differential is like -1,000 for a playoff team, which is insane. So, yeah, it's a tire fire. That's the best way that I can describe what this. But at the same time, as much as I'm crapping all over it, I love it because, again, it adds intrigue for these final games that if the playoffs had been decided since, you know, early March, this would not be fun. We would not be worrying about seeding. Now there's legitimate head-to-head games. It could be, you know, the Flyers and Caps tomorrow. It could be the Penguins and Islanders who play in the last game. These could all mean something here. So that's why I'm very intrigued by how this is going to play out. But please don't let the Islanders in. Of all this, like, I don't even care if the Capitals get in. Don't let the Islanders in, please.
Yeah, if you're going to be a mid team getting into the playoffs, at least be entertaining. And the Islanders aren't entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
I think we're on the same page with that one. Matty, as far as the Maple Leafs go, it sure looks like we're talking about the Florida Panthers. That's one of the matchups that can be solidified on this Monday night. Depending on what happens with the Bruins in their matchup. Banged up a bit. I know there's a little bit of injury concern with a couple of guys heading into this final week of the regular season, but round one, Panthers, Maple Leafs, how does that fare in your mind for a Toronto team that everyone's still waiting on a long playoff run from?
So it doesn't matter whatever I say about the Maple Leafs. Like, if I ever say, and this happens on the Bird app or X app or whatever, anytime I say something positive, people say I'm a Leafs homer. You know me. I'm as much of a realist when it comes to that team as anybody is. And realistically, when you look back at that series against Florida, they outplayed Florida in probably 3 of the 5 games, lost 4 out of 5 in the series, and that's it. They weren't able to get to the net against Sergei Bobrovsky. They just weren't tough enough. They couldn't get to the dirty areas. They weren't physical enough. They were run all over and nobody, you know, everybody stood down and Austin Matthews is getting punched in the face. And all of these things happened last year. I will say that the Toronto Maple Leafs are different. They have added, you know, Max Domi has over 100 penalty minutes. And I know people are like, oh, that doesn't matter in the playoffs. It matters when you can play a certain style that the Leafs haven't really been able to do. The same thing can be said for Tyler Bertuzzi. It's the same conversation. I know people think that Ryan Reeves is a bum, and to some he may be, but Ryan Reeves still has a role on this team, and he's physical, and he can get the crowd pumped up, because God knows in Toronto, with that atmosphere inside that building, you need to be pumped up every once in a while. Don't let anybody know it's the playoffs. They might, you know, have to get loud. But I think that the matchup is they're in a better place this year to win that matchup. Also because defensively, I think they're a lot tougher than they were last year as well. The question is going to become, can you skate with the Panthers? because the Panthers can skate really well. That was the biggest flaw that the Leafs had last year, was Florida just outskated them. They out-physicaled them. It was just, it wasn't pretty. Mm-hmm. And the Leafs still were outplaying them and probably should have, the series should have been a lot closer than it was. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who they play, because if it was going to, if they had finished in a wild card spot, they were going to play the Hurricanes or the Rangers. And if they finished in their division second or third, they were going to play the Bruins or they're going to play the Panthers. Pick which one of those teams you want to play. They're all good. They can all beat you. You can beat all of them. This is all mental at this point. Like, they need to get over the hump. The Stars have to be the Stars. Auston Matthews has to play the way he's played. This is the best hockey that we have seen him play since they moved Max Domi on his line. I think this is the best hockey that he's played in his tenure in the NHL. And so if he can continue that, if Marner can play the way he's playing and elevate Tavares like he has since going on that line, you've got two really good lines that can score. And then you've got William Nylander kind of floating around there, and Max, and he could be the guy who goes up and gets positive matchups against third pairing defensemen. And for a guy that's going to score almost 100 points to be playing against another team's third pairing defenseman, well, guess what? I think I like that matchup. So this is a long-winded way of me saying they can beat anybody that they play. It's just, are they going to? I'm not sure, because it's the same conversation we have every year. We know you're getting to the playoffs, but what can you do when you're there? I want to say this team is different, but I've been in this city my whole life. I've seen it too often. They're all the same until they prove me wrong.
Maddie, before I let you go, you and me, I don't think have dove far into this conversation, so I'm curious, because I know it caught your attention when it happened, but have the Vegas Golden Knights personally affected you and hurt what you're doing because of how they've handled LTIR? And are your hands fully up in shame that Mark Stone seemingly is going to be ready for round one of the playoffs?
I lose sleep every night over this. Oh, the pain and suffering. You know what? If every team...
Why did I know I was going to get a really good reply to that?
Yeah. If every team can do it. And if you're not doing it, I'm sorry. You're doing this wrong. It is within the rules of the game. If you're not cheating, I have no problem with it. And it is impossible to cheat the way that the CBA is done up, okay? Because as soon as somebody finds, the loophole, guess what? Lou Lamoriello tried to do it, okay, with Ilya Kovalchuk's contract. Guess what happened? He lost the first-round pick, okay? So if the Vegas Golden Knights are doing something wrong, they would be punished for it. Everybody just wants to find the villain. The villain used to be the Tampa Bay Lightning when they were, Nikita Kucherov wears the shirt that says $13 million over the cap, whatever. That's great. Find me the villain. Let Vegas be the villain. Remember when they were the feel-good story? Oh, look, they went to the Stanley Cup Final in their first year. Then they win the Cup and everybody hates them because they use their LTIR properly. I'm so sick and tired of everybody just being a baby about it. It's not Vegas' fault that Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee are smarter than most people. I'm sorry. It's not their fault. I wish that I had that problem. I wish that people looked and went, I hate that guy because he's smarter than me. Nobody ever says that.
That's fair.
But with Vegas, listen, they went out. I said to Jeff today before the show, how do you feel if you're every other team looking and going, they have Tomas Hertl and they're going to get Mark Stone back? Oh, by the way, also they brought in Noah Hanifin. It's a juggernaut. And they're going to get in as a wild card team. How's this if you're a team that finished, whether you're Dallas or if you're Vancouver? You had such a great regular season. You know what your gift is at the beginning of the playoffs? Here, go play the Vegas Golden Knights, who are getting healthy. And they just came off of a Stanley Cup. Oh, and by the way, they're better than when they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
That seems like a gift. That seems like coal on Christmas. That's what that seems like to me. That is poop in the stocking for you. Here's your gift. Go play the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't want to play them if I am in the playoffs they are the last team that I want to play. I was told today that Alex Pietrangelo is going to be ready, or at least should be ready, by game one. So, yeah, by the way, they get him back healthy, too. That seems like a lot of fun. I say good on Vegas for doing this right. It's become a great hockey market. It's a great story. And every league needs a villain. Baseball had the Yankees forever. the Dallas Cowboys were that in the NFL. Now it's, and then it was the Patriots. Now it's the Chiefs. Guess what? It's Vegas' turn. Go be the villain. Enjoy being that person. I think it's great. I like doing it. I like when people get mad at me for things that I say on the air. I think it's great. Go do your thing. I'm not losing sleep over it. People are idiots. That's how I'd like to end that.
I think that's the perfect way to end it. Maddie, appreciate the time as always, my man. You know we'll be checking in during the playoffs, and we'll even maybe work in a chat as we get close to the NFL draft. How's that?
Anytime, pal.
You're the best. Thanks, Maddie. Take care, hey?
Take care, bud.
Matt Marchese joining us down the Alice Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, chatting all things NHL as the final regular season week is upon us. Playoffs getting set when a little later on this hour, we'll go through the clinching scenarios on this Monday schedule in the NHL, as well as get you a Jays report with Shan. Matt Marchese, of course, host of the Fan Checkdown during the NFL season and part of the Jeff Merrick Show that you hear Monday to Fridays here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Just quickly on the Vegas thing before we take our final break of the program. I love it, Shan, because if I was cheering for a team and LTIR was an option for my team and my GM didn't take advantage of it, I would be livid. So don't act like your team is above this LTIR conversation or that Vegas has done something wrong. Your GM would do it in a heartbeat and you would tear that guy to shreds if he didn't. Is it good timing for Mark Stone? Yes, it is. And I'm sure that there's, I'm 99% sure that there's something that maybe we don't all love that times it out as perfectly as it has. But until the NHL puts a stop to that, tough S, grow up. Your team would do it in a heartbeat and don't act like they wouldn't.
Do I love it? No.
No, but it's the rule.
Exactly. And like you mentioned, if the team that I supported, the GM, didn't do that when there's a team that has the potential to go super far, like they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they really could run it back with this roster. And yeah, it is a little bit that they're smarter than people. Sure. And maybe it gets cracked down on in the future, but right now they aren't actually doing anything wrong.
Well, and even as Matt and Cochran texted at 960-960, you know, if you want them to play game one of the playoffs, maybe they have to play game 82. They'd make that work too.
Sure.
But that's not the rule. And unfortunately, and I'm with you, I don't love how it's handled, but I'm also not going to get mad at teams for taking advantage of the rules the way they're set out. The CBA gives you a financial loophole to exploit if you have a player that you're going to miss for a long term and teams have used it. Boo-hoo. Your team's done it in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it hasn't been as noticeable as what the Vegas Golden Knights have done, but your team's worked on it, and if they were in the same situation, they'd do the same thing.
Yeah, and
it's just how it is.
Last thing here, it's not like he had a blister. Mark Stone has a ruptured spleen.
Yeah, and doctors have to sign off on LTIR, by the way. Like, it's not just like a GM going, LTIR. A doctor has to sign off on a guy going to LTIR. Like, that's not just a formality that happens.
And he's been injury prone in his career. Like,
for sure.
This isn't something that is new for Mark Stone.
Exactly. Timing, it is
what it
is.
That's a little questionable. But
exactly. But
it's not illegal.
Exactly. It's just, I get it. From some perspectives, maybe you don't like it, but until that happens, I'm kind of over people complaining about it. Who Vegas gets in round one, still to be determined, but we've got some playoff matchups that will be determined after Monday's action. We'll take a look at it next. Plus, get you set for the Blue Jays. They're on your radios Monday night, kicking off a series with the Yankees. Shan's got your Jays report next. You're on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All right, going to continue a bit of our conversation that we had at the end with Matt Marchese here in hour two. We were talking about the Vegas Golden Knights and the return of Mark Stone to practice just in time for the NHL's postseason to roll around. And me and Maddie were kind of talking about, kind of over people getting upset about it. It is what it is. Here's my stance on it. And then I'll get into some of the texts that came in at 960-960. I don't love it. I want to be clear about that. I don't love that it gives teams the opportunity to essentially add salary in the way that they do because they lost a player. It's just, to me, it's a broken system. Now, that being said, I do not blame and I will not criticize any GM or any team that takes advantage and spends that money. They're not, by the way, these teams spending over the salary cap, their owners and the team still have to foot that bill. They can spend to the max of the salary cap, and if you're a GM going to your owner and saying, hey, I'd love to add Tomas Hertl, but it's going to cost us another $6 million this season on top of a budget that's already 80-plus million, not every team's going to do that. So I also think it's a plus to the team saying, look, winning's important, and if I have the opportunity to spend more and it's going to help me win, I'm going to do it. Your GM of whatever team, whether you're a fan of the Blues, the Blackhawks, the Islanders, the Brain, whatever, if your team hasn't already used the LTIR rules to their advantage, they would if they could. That's just how it is. And I think most fans would be disappointed if they didn't. Now, would I like to see them change the rules so that come playoffs, it's more indicative of what the actual salary cap is and you're only within that sort of structure? Absolutely. I would like to see them change it. But until they do, nobody's breaking any rules. So it's hard for me to get on these teams for taking advantage of it. That's just where I am on it. And you can feel differently about it, and some do, and I'll read some texts that do feel differently about it, but I'm not on board with ragging on Vegas or Tampa. This started back with Chicago when they were winning their Stanley Cups almost a decade ago. Until the NHL and the Players Association changed that in the CBA, it just is what it is. And again, your GM would do it if given the opportunity. Some of the texts at 960-960. This one says, easy fix, salary cap in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay, but what if you actually have a player that gets injured and then you try and make a move at the deadline because you need to make a move so that your team can compete and make the playoffs, and then all of a sudden your player comes back and it's like, oh, yeah, you're not playing. Sorry. I know you've been there for 4 years. Don't matter. You're not playing. It wouldn't work.
It's a bit too simple for that, unfortunately. This text says, Logo, respectfully, both things can be true. Vegas can be complete BS and it be part of the rules. I don't know people who are crying about it, but it is some sneaky crap. Again, Vegas isn't the first team that's done this. They're the latest team that's done it to this kind of degree, but they're not the only ones. And I'm sorry, it's not really even the only sneaky part. And I said this when I was talking with Maddie, the timing of injury return works out very favorably for teams, a little too often for my liking, but how they take advantage of the rule isn't sneaky at all. In fact, it's allowed and not even monitored by the NHL outside of doctors approving LTIR stints, which is normal procedure anyways. They're not breaking any rules.
Now, what does it say to the players if you have the ability to use the LTIR and you don't use it? If you're saying to your players, I am not going to give you every single competitive advantage to win the Stanley Cup. If that's the case, why would you sign in a place that doesn't do this rather than a place like Vegas? If you really want to win a Stanley Cup, look what Noah Hanifin did. He just signed an extension there. Because they give the players the competitive advantage to win the Cup.
This text says, and this is the opposite side of it. It says, okay, I'm a huge Oilers fan here. I don't want McDavid on LTIR. I want to watch him play. Sure. And that's 100% fair. The harsh reality of this for Kucherov and for Mark Stone as the main example, these guys have been legitimately hurt. And believe me, if Vegas was given the option of Mark Stone playing 82 games healthy and then walking into the playoffs with that same guy, they would take that. But it hasn't happened that way. The league has given them an out to spend more money because of that, and they've taken advantage of it. And now Mark Stone is healthy enough to play, and on they go. Yes, at the end of the day, believe me, Kelly McCrimmon all of the GMs would tell you they'd much rather not have to do it if their player was just healthy and like McDavid, you could just play him through 82 games and you didn't have to worry about it. But it didn't happen that way. The guys went to LTIR with legitimate injuries and they've taken advantage of the rule that lets them financially benefit from that happening. This text says here, I think it's funny the new normal will be fans hoping that one of their star players gets seriously hurt so they can take advantage of it going into the postseason. I don't blame Vegas for using the exploit at all, but I hope the NHL figures it out. That's a text to me that hits it right on the nail.
I completely agree.
That's 100% it. You're almost hoping, as that text says, one of your stars does get hurt, right? Because if Kucherov or Stone or any of these guys that say $8 to $10 million get hurt, all of a sudden you've got all this room to bring in another guy somewhere around that same salary. And again, it's, I don't blame the GMs for using it, but that text is right. Like I get it. I just understand that, and that's the text points out, it really is unfortunate that you would hope that somebody gets hurt because, boom, all of a sudden, here's $7, $8 million you can use again?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it really is a, let's be honest, Shan, as we talk about this, the rule is stupid.
I agree. And
the
rule
is broken.
It should be fixed. I completely agree with that. It's just, it is what it is right now. So if you don't use it, you are making a mistake. And listen, I'm not saying that I want these guys to get injured. That's not what I'm saying. But going back to the Oilers fan, it doesn't have to be Connor McDavid. Imagine if Darnell Nurse has a nagging knee injury, and you have the option to put him on the LTIR. There's $9.25 million that you can go spend at the deadline. So it doesn't have to be your star player. And I think every team has a contract that maybe is a little bigger than it should be, and you can take it off the books for that. I don't think any team is actually cheating. Like, Mark Stone, he's not faking an injury. A ruptured spleen, I've never had one. Doesn't sound fun.
No, I haven't had anything on my spleen and I don't want it to happen.
No, but like you said, I think this rule should be fixed. We're not arguing that, this is good for the, I don't think it's that good for the NHL, to be honest.
No, it's not. It's not. It's like that text points out, you're almost hoping somebody gets hurt for 2 months.
Yes.
So you can take advantage of it. That's not a smart way of going about your business.
And on the other side,
eventually one of these injuries isn't going to happen in time for round one. Like eventually, whether it's Vegas or somebody else, somebody's going to get hurt and you're going to go, holy crap, they're not back for round one and it totally missed and it hurt them badly. But for now, it's just kind of worked out the way it is.
Yeah.
This one comes in again and it's an interesting one. I don't mind it. I still think that teams would make it happen. But this text says, if you can't play game 82, you can't play the playoffs or at least play the first round. I mean, with Mark Stone back, I think Vegas would find a way to get him into game 82 if they had to with most of these injuries. Because, sometimes you're only talking 6-7 days from the end of the regular season to the beginning of the playoffs. So I don't know how a time cutoff like that, like between game 82 and game one of the playoffs, is that enough to make you say that you were healthy enough to get in? I don't know.
Well, to be fair, it'd be hard to do with...
It would be.
Right? Like, you'd have to kind of just say, hey, Noah Hanifin, here's a baseball bat to the leg. You got a bruised leg. You're going on... Like, so... I don't know. It's weird. That would certainly eliminate the problem. With that being said, there are many players that can't play game 82 and would come back in the second round of the playoffs or something. And you're just saying they can't play because of that, you know?
A couple more here before we get to tonight's playoff scenarios in the NHL. Heather says, Logan, once again, your breath of fresh air, pragmatic and realistic. This isn't sneaky. They're following the rules. People are blowing this all out of proportion. Stone had a lacerated spleen. Any team would do this and make the timing work if they could. It is what it is. So happy you're back and feeling better. Thank you. I do appreciate that. Once again, thanks to Julian and Peter Klein for helping out last week. So we kind of dealt with the stomach bug here at 960. But thank you, Heather. I'm glad to be back. This text from our pal Big Mike. It's a great take, Logo. Maybe a little soft on it, my thoughts. My issue lays with the lacerated spleen. My ass, Stone can heal two times quicker than anyone else on Earth. Makes me wonder. Good convo.
Here's the thing about that. The lacerated spleen, the recovery is from 3 to 12 weeks. That's what it's listed as. So
yeah, and see, and to Big Mike's point, and that's the one that I agree with, Mike, the timing of it all.
Yeah.
It sure feels like they make that work to their benefit, whether it's Kucherov or Stone or whoever it is. The fact that they just happen to be ready to come back in game one that means something. Yeah, I think that's the classic one that you're looking at and going, I wonder how that happened. That works out really well for you guys. I don't doubt the injury, to be clear. I never doubt the injury. Yeah. Like a lacerated, and a doctor, like again, has to sign off on that. And be okay with putting his name, his or her name to that. I never doubt that. But the recovery time lining up with that, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm with you guys who don't find that easy to swallow either. Last text here, I'll read it, 960-960. Every team should be allowed to break cap rules as long as they beat the Oilers.
That's fine.
It's
probably
fine. I agree with that. That actually works out perfectly fine. Yeah. So
I support that.
Yeah. Told you about clinching scenarios in the NHL tonight. We've got a couple of them. It's a busy Monday with 8 games on the schedule. Sportsnet's got a couple of them for you, including the Habs and the Red Wings starting at 5 o'clock. But here's your clinching scenarios and what can happen on this Monday. In the Eastern Conference, Rangers can clinch the Metro, Eastern Conference, and President's Trophy if they beat the Sens in any fashion. Bruins clinch the Atlantic if they beat the Capitals in any fashion. Islanders, you'll be heading to the playoffs if you clinch a playoff berth, if you defeat the New Jersey Devils in any fashion, or if they get 1 point and either of the following occurs. Detroit loses to Montreal, and the Capitals lose to the Bruins in any fashion. And look, we kind of took a jab at the Islanders as we as we were talking about Maddie and saying that the Islanders aren't the most exciting playoff team, and the one Islanders fan in Calgary has found us on the text line and gave us a shot back. He said, "Hey boys, making the playoffs is exciting, but all I can guarantee, both of you railbirds haven't watched a whole lot of out-of-market Islander games, so kiss my longtime Isle fan butt and enjoy your Flames offseason."
That's just not true. I've watched the Islanders this year, and I would like to make it clear, I like the Islanders too, because they have built a playoff team, and what they did trying to beat the Lightning those couple years, it's a playoff team. It's not exciting. Matthew Barzal is exciting. You're going to tell me that Brock Nelson or Kyle Palmieri or Cizikas or Engvall or Anders Lee, JG Pusher, you're going to tell me those guys are exciting? They're not. And this is going to be one of the most exciting playoffs. And they'll be a tough out. And it is a playoff team, but oh my goodness, they're not fun.
Congratulations, you're going to the playoffs. Against Calgary, I really don't care. But like, I'm sorry, you'd be one of the lowest scoring teams to make the playoffs for the Islanders. Like the Sabres, the Senators, Red Wings have all scored more goals this season than the Islanders have. And I'm really excited about that Islanders road record of 17-17-6.
Yeah, fire me up.
Making the playoffs.
Fire me up.
Hot damn.
I'm a big
Can't
Adam.
Can't wait for the excitement of not having facial hair.
Yes. That stuff.
Good one.
That drives me nuts. It's 2024. You should be allowed to have a beard and play hockey.
You got me, Lou. You got me, Lou Lamoriello, and your rock hard rules about getting it.
Listen, they have Matthew Barzal and Noah Dobson. Those are their two exciting players. That's it.
Yeah, and let me be clear. Good on the Islanders for making the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that away from that fan or from that team. Still doesn't make you exciting. Sorry.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. Western Conference, Canucks, who do not play tonight, can clinch the Pacific Division if the Oilers lose to the Sharks in any fashion. Preds will clinch the first wild card spot if they pick up at least a point against the Penguins, and we could get 3 more first round matchups confirmed today. All in the East could have the Hurricanes and the Islanders locked in. If the Rangers and Islanders complete their tasks set out earlier, we could have the Bruins and the Lightning set for round one. And also could get the Panthers and Leafs locked in as the 2-3 battle
I need that.
In the Atlantic.
I need that desperately.
So could be a lot of fun. We'll check in and see what exactly happens with those tomorrow on the show. But before we get out of here, busy weekend for the Jays. They picked up a series win against the Colorado Rockies, now getting set to welcome the New York Yankees to town. Let's get the latest on the Jays with Shan Vergy.
Time now for the Jays Report on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Shan Vergy.
Let's take a look back at the weekend that was for the Toronto Blue Jays. They kicked off a three-game set with the Colorado Rockies Friday night, and that was a complete disaster. Kevin Gausman gave up 10 hits and 6 earned runs in just 4 innings, and the Jays really could not recover from that. Paulo Espino came into the game in relief and gave up 4 runs and was subsequently sent down to the minors. The Rockies finished the game with 20 hits and beat the Jays 12-4 in Toronto. Needing a big bounce back after a loss against a struggling Colorado team, Yariel Rodriguez got his first career MLB start and put together a very solid outing. Just 1 earned run on 4 hits and threw up an impressive 6 Ks with just 2 batters walked. Big bullpen game for the Jays as Bowden Francis, Tim Mazza, Chad Green, and Jimmy Garcia all got into the game as the Blue Jays came away with a 5-3 win. Francis picked up the win and Garcia finished with the save. An early Sunday game for the Jays to wrap up the series, and they needed Jose Berríos to pitch a gem with the usage of the bullpen in Saturday's game. Safe to say he did just that, and safe to say that his 7-year, $131 million contract is looking just fine right now. 7 innings with 2 hits, 2 batters walked, no earned runs, and 7 punchouts for Berríos. Yenesis Cabrera and Nate Pearson both got an inning of work, and the Rockies finished with just 2 hits in a 5-0 loss to the Blue Jays. Monster game from Justin Turner as he went 3-for-4 with 3 RBI. He currently leads the MLB with a .386 batting average and has brought home 8 runners this season. The Blue Jays are right back at it with Game 1 of a 3-game series against the Yankees tonight. Some great news for Toronto as Danny Jansen was activated by the Blue Jays ahead of the game tonight, where he will be available if needed. Catcher Brian Servin has been sent down as a result. Luis Gill is on the mound for the Yankees, and Chris Bassitt gets the start for the home team. Gill is 0-0 on the season, while Bassitt is 1-2. This is the second series between the Jays and the Yanks. New York leads the season series 2-1. And it's Jackie Robinson Day across the MLB, so every player will have the illustrious number 42 on their jerseys for the games tonight. First pitch at 5:07. Enjoy the game tonight. I'm Shan Vergie, and that was your Jays Report.
Catch the Blue Jays all season long, right here on Calgary's home of the Blue Jays, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Thank you, Shan. Yes, Jays and Yankees on your radios on this Monday night. Enjoy it. That puts a wrap on Sportsnet today. Thanks to Shan and Cam, outstanding producers, for their great work on this Monday. Thank you for listening live or joining us on the podcast. If you send us a text at 960-960, Matt and Cochran, Heather, Big Mike, all the crew that hang out with us on the afternoons, appreciate you guys chiming in. As always, we'll be back on Tuesday. We'll see what happened in the NHL on a busy Monday night. We got any more playoff matchups set to talk about. We'll also get you set for the Flames' final road game. They're in Vancouver to take on the Canucks to finish out game number 81. Again, if you missed anything, the podcast, the perfect place to check us out, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Hopefully the weather stays nice heading into Tuesday, but we'll wait and see. It's here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.